Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to preach on the Lord's Supper. And this is a time of remembrance. I hope more than any other time as I preach, you think upon the things of the Lord. You remember what He has done for you and what He has done for the world. And it's also a time to search your heart. As soon as you come in and you see the table up here, you ought to be thinking, am I right with God? Because if you know the Bible, you know how important it is when we have the Lord's Supper to make sure you're right with God. There's never a more explicit demand in the Bible to be right with God than when concerning the Lord's Supper. So let's read, or I'll read, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, where it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So the Apostle Paul saying, God has taught me this, shown me this, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye do eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, can you get any stronger than that? Okay? That's why I say I don't know of a time where it's more important to have our hearts right with God any more than this time. But let a man examine himself. Because of that statement, we better examine ourselves, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There it is again. I think to the unsaved, you just take this cup and eat this to partake of this Lord's Supper, and you're not saved. What does it say? He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Talking about Christians, and sleep here doesn't mean you're on your posturpedic mattress. It means you're 6 feet under. Because people don't take this serious, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You take care of it, and he won't have to. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and remember your death, your burial, your resurrection. And I just pray that you'll just help us, show us our sin, that we might rid ourselves of that, gain forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you just draw us close tonight as we remember what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. The business of the church in the absence of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the good news. And that is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. That's what our job is, to tell people how he was buried, and he rose on the third day. And we are going to remember Easter, I'd rather call it the Resurrection Day. Next week, we don't know. Probably we're not commemorating it on the right day. But all through the year, We ought to be telling people how Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and he rose again. And Christ, before he left, he gave us two ordinances and commanded that we observe them until he come again. Now, why do you think he did that? Why did he say, I want you to do these things? Well, look at the front of the table up here. In remembrance of me. Because he knows us, you see. And he knows how we get so involved in the world and the workaday things, and that we'll forget it. And so he said, now I want you to do these things until I come again. And embodied in the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, is found the same good news, lest we forget. In the Lord's Supper, we remember his death. And in baptism, we have three being baptized this evening. We'll remember his burial and his resurrection. So every time a church gathers together to witness a baptism or to break bread in communion, they declare the gospel. And we're reminded of the great work that God has called us to. He says here, okay, you believe it, but let's get refocused. We're not to gather together to show how holy we are. Our religions, not ours, hopefully, but religions today have gotten so formal, and people just want to partake of communion to show how good they are. We never announce that we're going to have the Lord's Supper, because some will come just to show how holy they are, and some will stay away because they don't want to be faced with their sin. But the Lord's Supper involves remembering his great love and his great work, and then being reminded of his great commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, many people take communion and don't really realize what they're doing. And that's why I've never had the Lord's Supper without preaching on it. It's just my conviction. Most pastors don't believe that, but I believe that it's so important. And by the way, it was the hardest thing for me to do as a young pastor, because I think it's so important. It has such a strong message that I was half afraid to lead in this. And again, because of the importance, I want everybody to know every single time we partake of it. Now, some are not saved. They rejected Christ's death, and they go through the motions of the Lord's Supper, and that's blasphemy. How can a person say, no, I'm not going to take you into my heart? I know that they spit in your face because of my sins. I know they pulled your beard out. I know they whipped you. I realize that. I know that they took that crown of thorns and shoved it down in your head, and the blood ran down through. I know those things. I know they laid the cross down and pounded those nails into your hands and your feet, and then dropped it into the hole and ripped your flesh. I know they took a spear and ran it into your side, and I know you say that you did it for my sins, but I don't have any time for you. I don't have any use. Your death isn't good enough. You say, I'd never say that, but that's what you are saying. If you're not saved, you're saying, I want to live my own life. But how can a person sit down and remember all that he did for us and reject and yet partake in the Lord's Supper? I don't see how that can happen. Now, others are saved. They're on their way to heaven, but they want to live their own life. I don't know if anybody's in here unsaved, but I know there's people that are living their own life. The Bible says that we are all bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are all, every one of us, purchased. But some won't give in. Some of you won't give in. You're doing what you want. You don't think you could be happy without your sin. The devil has you hoodwinked. And instead of saying, I'm going to trust God and you'll find real happiness, you fight God. Now, how can you participate? How can you? Paul said that many of the Corinthians were not right with God and they were making a mockery of the Lord's table. And because of that, he said, and again, I'm going to read this over and over again in 1 Corinthians 11:27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know it's horrific. But let a man examine himself, and that's what it's all about. That's the reason that we have a slow service when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself. Now, we should do this every day. But particularly, we should do it tonight. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We are to eat of that bread. We are to drink of that cup. But first examine ourselves and first ask for forgiveness. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You've got to understand what you're doing when you partake of the Lord's Supper. You've got to realize the significance of partaking in this. You can't as a man just be wimp out as far as the head of the home and let your kids go to the devil and not want to rock the boat and partake. Now, I don't care what you call it. The Bible calls it sin. Sin. And your family's going to reap from it. I don't see. To me, that's one of the worst sins you can ever partake in. And you can't be a rebel woman and just do your own thing and fight your wife, your husband, and just partake of it. It's sin. You say, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't. I'll tell you what. I mean this. It'd be better for some of you people to drink or smoke than to let your kids go to the devil because you won't take your place in the home. I mean that. Just as in baptism, though, unless a person understands, it means nothing. Suppose a man never heard of Christ, never read the Bible, and he came across our baptism tonight without hearing me say this, maybe men, women, I don't know, children. And having never heard, they'd think that he would think that we're playing a game of drown. It'd have no spiritual significance. But to those who know, it's special, or it should be. They realize that they're confessing that they're saved by grace, that they're trusting in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and that the old man is buried and he's raised to newness of life. It's special. They realize, maybe most of us realize, that people have died rather than not be baptized because of how important that testimony is. And so it's a source of real joy and blessing. But to the stranger, it means absolutely nothing. Now, these are spiritual ordinances for spiritual people. People that are spiritually right with God. Now, suppose that same stranger would walk in a service tonight when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, partaking of the bread and the cup. If he never heard of the Lord's death, he never heard the words, I am the bread of life, it would be nothing but a group of people who are taking partaking of an extremely simple meal. He'd never receive a blessing that we should receive. We should receive a blessing as we meditate and feed not upon that little piece of bread, but upon Him. Now keep your finger there and turn, if you'd like, to John 6. In order to get a blessing out of it, we've got to be right with Him. And we've got to understand the meaning, the spiritual meaning. We don't come here today for enjoyment from the bread or the fruit of the vine, but from the truth the elements teach. That's why when we pass this bread out, it's just tiny little pieces. And the cups particularly are just little old cups. And you might say, well, that's because you guys are cheap. No, it's not that, but we're trying to play down the idea of eating anything. It's not, if you're hungry, you're going to leave hungry, you see. It doesn't have anything to do with fulfilling our need of food, but it's what the elements teach us and mean to us. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The first celebration of the Lord's Supper was in the upper room in the evening. The evening before Christ was crucified. And the Lord gathered His disciples to observe the Passover feast. That was an Old Testament feast, the Passover feast. And at the same time, to institute the New Testament memorial feast. Jesus was the host, and He broke the bread, and He gave the cup. And later, after the resurrection, when He met the two on the road to Emmaus, He became known to them again by the breaking of the bread. Now, Jesus has gone to heaven. Yet we're commanded to continue keeping this feast till He come. Again, what does it say on the table? In remembrance of Me. Isn't it sad that He has to say, will you remember Me? Isn't it sad that He has to say, think about Me? We should always be remembering Him. We should always be thinking and loving Him. But no, He knows us. We're human beings. He has to say, hey, slow down, stop. Have this supper in remembrance of Me. And from the Bible record, it was a very simple service, yet solemn. It was full of blessing as you read it. And this is the way we should have it today. Simple. Remembering what He did for us. Remembering that He came from earth that first Christmas morning, left the throne room of heaven to be born in a stable, laid in swaddling clothes. That's death clothes in a manger. I hope they washed the slobber off. But that's where He was placed. And He lived a lonely life, hated life, until they killed Him. He's saying, stop and think about Me. Remember Me. It's a memorial. It should cause us to confess our sins. It should cause us to say, Lord, is there anything between You and I? Is there anything? Please show me. And I'll tell you something, if you're serious about that and you're not just going to make excuses again, He will show you. And it ought to be a time of asking for forgiveness, a time of communing with our Lord and our Savior. Again, so much is formal today. There's no liberty. It's all mechanical works with no meanings. And with the passing of the simplicity passed much of the blessing. Now, there are two elements used to observe the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. There's been a lot of argument about this, but again, remember, we're looking for spiritual blessing. And these elements are only used to graphically point to spiritual teaching. The physical bread is not important, but it's who the bread points us to, you see. What the bread makes us think of. The elements are secondary, and the spiritual meaning is what's primary. The bread was unleavened, I'm sure, because, again, it was the Passover feast. And there was no leaven in the house, no place in the house, let alone in food, at Passover time. And the cup, the Bible says, contained the fruit of the vine. Now, I'm not going to go into it. Most of you know that that word wine could be used for grape juice, grape jelly, or fermented wine. But I think it's peculiar to understand that the Bible calls it the cup or the fruit of the vine, never even calls it wine. Now, again, people say it was wine. No, it's always the cup, always the fruit of the vine. And again, there was nothing rotten in the house. Are you listening? No leaven at the Passover feast. And that's what they were celebrating along with starting what we would call the Lord's Supper. But I want to take our eyes off the elements. They're insignificant. The important thing is communion with the Lord. And I keep on repeating myself, a time of confession. Not putting it off. Remember what I said this morning, and probably have said it 1,000 other times. When you hear a sermon, you have the invitation, don't push God off. It ought to be, God, show me. There's something in our flesh, there's something wrong with us when we say, well, I don't want to think about that. I'm pretty good. No, we ought to say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I know I'm a sinner. Oh, we want to look so good and we want to feel so good. Some of us just continue to act like the Catholics or Lutherans we used to be. I don't want anybody pointing out that I'm a sinner. You're a sinner! And maybe you're too stiff-necked to ever come forward at an invitation. But you are a sinner. It's just as simple as that. I am a sinner. And we ought to be looking for that sin. Because that sin comes between us and our Savior. So it's a time of confession. It's a time of fellowship. We're remembering our Lord. We don't understand it completely, but we're remembering our Lord. And we ought to be saying, I love you. I love you. I love you for coming to this earth. I love you for being hated for me. I love you for dying for me. I love you because you've forgiven my rotten, dirty sins. Well, some of us are going to get to heaven and understand we didn't have any kind of a Christian life because we spent it making excuses, trying to act. Instead of just saying, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Time of remembering, a time of thinking. We should lose ourselves in the adoration of Christ. We should forget about this and feast upon the spiritual. Every born-again believer is commanded to do this in remembrance of me. Now you read the passage, and you can't get away from it. I've often referred back to when I was growing up and I saw people let the plate pass. What they were saying is, I'm not right with God, and I'm holy enough to know it, and I'm going to let the plate pass. They were sinning. Terrible sin. Terrible sin. Because God said, partake of it. If you're born again, you're saved, you're to partake of it. Now, some would disagree with me, but I don't believe in closed communion. I believe if you're saved, you're to partake of it. If neglected, it'll lead to chastening of God. It'll rob you of blessings and bankrupt your soul. Sometimes I wonder, how can people be so stupid and be saved? They read their Bible, they come to church. How can they be so ignorant of the things of God? Well, I think it's things like this. You know, we think of chastening as being killed or something like that. No, God can make you dumb. And God can mess your marriage up. And God can mess your children up. Allow you to, I should say. He doesn't do it. And I wonder, how in the world can people... I've had people in this church fight me when I try and help. I don't know how many times I've sat down in my office and I literally verbally fighting people trying to get them to do what's right and see what's right. I know the secretaries have heard me get loud. And I think, how in the world can people say they believe the Bible and they won't follow it? Maybe it's the judgment of God. Maybe you're blind. But the Bible says stop. Stop. It's a great big, what I think of the Lord's Supper, is a great big stop sign. If there's sin in your life, confess it and forsake that sin. Want to see the sin. Look for the sin. Again, 1 Corinthians 11:27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You ever think your so-called problems is a judgment of God? But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We're coming to fellowship with God. And if we're going to fellowship with God, we must be a clean vessel. Okay, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We must be a clean vessel. So God says, stop. I say again, you ask yourself, Lord, is there something between you and I, some reason, some problem? If you're honest, see, most of us are not honest. We live a dishonest life, a pretend life, a put-on life. If we're honest, boom, He'll show us. Let's pray. Lord,